Well, it's a new year. We focus on 2014. We've been hearing about it a lot. Those of you who came to the New Year's Eve service, Pastor Matt just laid it out and stepped all over our toes and gave us a fresh purpose for an extraordinary 2014. They told me, Pastor Matt and Susie told me that they were going to be out of town this first Sunday, and usually that kind of sets the stage for the year, and Pastor may have a big word that this is going to be an epic year or a monumental year or an extraordinary year or a superb year or all of these other types of words that you could use to describe a certain year. So immediately I feel the pressure, you know, of, well, you got to, what word are you going to come up with today? And well, it's not my place to set the tone for this year, and so I don't intend to give you any specific word. All right, so I apologize in advance if that's what you came here to get is one word. Make up your own word. Go for that. That's good. Just do that. And you know, if you need a confirmation, tell me your word, and I'll say that's good, or I'll give you the like or the dislike, whatever, and you'll be good to go for your year. They did, however, ask me, what do you think you're going to share about on Sunday morning? And I told them some things that God had been dealing with me about and what I thought I would talk about. And something about out with the old, in with the new, something about putting on the new man. As I began to explain these things, Pastor Susie looked at me with bewilderment, and she's like, you knew that Pastor Matt's going to start a series called Put on the New Man, right? And I was like, no, I had no idea about that. And I looked at him, I said, great minds think alike. Because that's exactly what I wanted to talk about. And he said, well, why don't you go ahead and start the series? So I'm honored to start this series. And again, that alleviates some pressure because I don't get the opportunity to speak to you very often on a Sunday morning. So I feel like when I do, I got to hit you with both barrels and like blast you and give you every bit of my knowledge about a certain subject. So there's less pressure to do that today because it's a series. And whatever I don't say, Pastor Matt, we'll say whatever I say that's wrong, he'll unsay next week. So, no pressure here. Let's talk about putting on the new man for a bit. Let's talk about New Year's resolutions. How many of you made some resolutions this year? Okay, nobody. Good for you. Awesome. Maybe you're done with resolutions. Maybe you say resolutions aren't the way to go. Maybe I made some goals this year. Anybody set some goals? Okay, that's more like it. You set some goals and some of the most common New Year's goals, we'll put them this way, as found on Google, are eat healthy and exercise regularly. How many of you made that a goal for this year? Okay, good for you. Awesome. Save money or get out of debt. Anybody say, yeah, I want to do that? All right, good. Volunteer more. Anybody? Okay, we got a perfect spot for you on Team Good News. Thank you. Awesome. get organized. Anybody want to get more organized this year? And read more. Let me say I want to read more books, okay? And finally, quit smoking. Anybody want to? Okay. You have to be smoking in order to quit smoking. That's funny. But basically, all of these goals and resolutions that people make every year is simply about you being a better person. But I've got news for you this morning, church. Jesus didn't die to make you a better person. He died to make you a new person. He died to make you a new creature. In fact, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come, right? So that's who you are on the inside. You've already, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, if you've called upon the name of Jesus, if you've embraced Him, at the center of it all, you are a new creation. That's you on the inside. You're already new. You're already better. You're already the best you could possibly be on the inside because you have everything that pertains to life and godliness in your born-again, recreated human spirit. It's already there. Did you realize that today? It's there. It's inside of you. The problem is, we don't see the manifestation of it a lot of times on the outside. So we endeavor to make goals and resolutions and do things differently, and it's all based on our works, what we can do to make ourselves better, right? But really, it's not about what you can do. It's about what you can receive from the inside out. And a lot of these things that we're talking about, goals, resolutions, You should make goals. Don't mishear what I'm saying today. You should make goals. You should make goals. You should reach those goals. But if you're making those goals in order to be a better person, a better version of yourself, you're going about it the wrong way. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this. Kind of lay the groundwork here. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man is a three-part being. If you've been to this church any length of time, you've heard this before. But let me reiterate that for some of you. Let me introduce that to others of you, that you are a three-part being. You are a spirit. That's the real you on the inside. You have a soul. That's your mind, your will, your emotions. And you live in this earth suit called a body. All right. So the real you is the spirit man. That's who you are. Now, your spirit was old, it was dirty, it was unclean. That when you came into this world, your spirit was dead. Right? Your spirit was dead to Christ. But when you accepted him, when you accepted his free gift of grace, your spirit became alive. That's the part of you that was made completely new. That's the part of you that has within it everything that pertains to life and godliness. Your spirit man on the inside. But there are two-thirds of you that are battling against that reality coming into manifestation in this present day, in your life right now. Your soul and your body. That's what the Bible commonly refers to as the flesh. So there's the flesh man and there's the spirit man, and they're constantly in battle against each other, right? Do you sense the struggle sometimes? Do you feel the struggle sometimes? And a lot of times churches, ministers, man, we can capitalize on that struggle so much to beat you up and beat you into submission, submitting to God, because you're already come to church. You feel bad about what you do. You feel bad about the mistakes that you've made. You feel condemned. You feel shame. You feel sorrow about your sin. And that's the flesh. That's the flesh man. But on the inside, in the spirit man, you've been made righteous. Come on, church. Have you been made righteous on the inside? Yes, you have. That's who we are. So everything... Hey. Thank you. That's going to help. It's my goal for this year is to wear the mic properly. Starting today. You should have flagged me down back there, Grayson. Thanks, Eddie. Can you hear me now? Good. Can you hear me now? Good. Where was I? The real you, the spirit man. He's been made alive to God. He has everything he needs on the inside. But the problem is we want it on the outside, right? We want to experience peace. We want to experience joy. We want to experience righteousness. We want to experience right actions. We want to experience prosperity and provision. We want to experience everything that's already been contained on the inside. How do we unleash it? How do we open it up? How do we unlock the key? How do we get it outside, right? That's the question. Because a lot of us aren't experiencing on the outside what we presently have on the inside. And again, there's another battle. But it all has to do with this concept of putting on the new man. Every struggle that you face in life, every element of sin or shame or condemnation that you face in life, all can be solved with this issue. Put on the new man. Put on the new man. It's found here in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll read in the New King James. If you have your Bibles, turn there. If not, again, we'll put the scriptures on the screen for you. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at this passage here. Paul writes, let me say this. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. Okay? So imagine as if Paul were saying this to you presently at this moment in your life. Church people. People who come to church. All right? This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, we're starting with verse 17, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. So here's the deal. He's talking about the rest of the Gentiles where they're at. Basically, they're alienated from God. They're ignorant of God and His promises. They're ignorant of what He's made available to them, so much to the point that they have their past feeling, it says. They're beyond hope. They've given up hope. We talked about hope last week. They have given up hope, and by so doing, they've given themselves over to lewdness, it says, to work all in cleanness with greediness. They've given up, really. They've given up the battle against sin, right? They're like, well, I can't beat it. You can't beat them. Just join them, kind of thing, right? And so they're going all out. I mean, sinners doing what sinners do, sin, right? So they've given themselves up to that. They're not trying to battle against it. It says in verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. That's not who you are, he says. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on what? The new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So here we are. The Gentiles, he's talking about, don't walk as they walk. Don't go where they're going. Don't do what they're doing. But you have not so learned Christ. You know Christ, is what he's saying. You know Jesus. You have heard him. You've been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. You put off concerning your former conduct the old man. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. The new man being created in the image of God, according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. This is who we are. This is who we are. We have put on the new man. All right? In our spiritually speaking, in our spirit, we are a new creation. The new man's been put on. But what we're talking about is putting on that new man on a daily, consistent basis through this process of renewing our mind. Grayson, bring up my illustration here. I thought no better way to illustrate putting on the new man than with some garments. And so I thought I would go ahead and air my dirty laundry today. Literally, quite literally, airing my dirty laundry. I have here, this represents the old man. So I've got some old clothes, some dirty clothes, some nasty clothes. And so this is who, and if you're live tweeting our service today, this would be a great time to break out your smartphone and take some pictures, because it's about to get ridiculous. So this is who we were, okay? This is the old man. And this is really what tries to creep back up on us. These behavior. Oh, the phones have come out. Perfect. This is who, because this shirt is funky. Like it even smells. Like I would get close to you, but. And then I have some. Here, let me do this. Because I want you to see what we're talking. I mean, this is the old man right here. Filth, holy in like a not a good sense. Right. Oh gosh, can't even fit my sock through there. Okay. Old man. I wonder if these are going to fit me here. These are actually old clothes that used to fit me, and I can wear them over my new clothes. Cool. Awesome. So it becomes infomercial. The old me. All right. So here we go. Is my fly down? Yeah. Okay. Good. Thank you. So the old, this is who we were, right? The old us. Do I look ridiculous or what? This is going to come back to bite me in years to come. This is who we are, who we used to be, the old man, all right? Lustful, sinful, we weren't thinking right, we weren't doing right. We gave ourselves up and gave ourselves over to lewdness and lasciviousness and whatever else, L word that ends with ness. We gave ourselves over to this. This is who we used to be. But no longer. And then it says, put off the old man. So what you got to do is you got to take it off. Put off the old man. All right, so this is, hey. Yeah. All righty. I'm glad I'm wearing clothes underneath here. So we put off the old man. And then what we have to do is we have to put on the new man, okay? So I have some fresh duds here, clean clothes. I'm going to put on the new man, clothed with Christ.
Here we go. This is an old jacket too, but it works. All right. How do I look? So this is the deal. We put on the new man, and I have some other stuff. What's included in the new man? And why on earth would we go back to putting on the old man? Why would we go back to this filth, this stench, this nastiness? Why would we go back? It's like, you know, the scripture talks about a dog returning to its vomit. That's what it's like when we go back to our former behavior, our former actions, our former ways of living and ways of doing things. Because guess what? We're new. Why? It's like, why would I eat a cheeseburger when I know I'm going to have steak? You know? I mean, I'm presently enjoying the best steak there ever was cooked. Probably by my man Nate Laura back there. I've had some of your steaks. It's good stuff. Why would I say, in the middle of enjoying this decadent meal, I'm going to go back, I'll just have a cheeseburger in the middle of it? That's not who we are. And in the same way, you can liken, you know, me putting off the old man, and what happens is we go ahead and we reach back into this. After we put on the new man, we reach back in our soulish, our physical, through the flesh, and we reach back into the old man's behavior, attitudes. Look at that. And we begin to put some of this back on. And you know what? The problem is, it doesn't even fit. It doesn't fit you anymore. It doesn't look good on you. Why are you putting that back on? Let's rid ourselves of it. Why would I wear this or this, unless I'm camping and channeling Larry the Cable Guy? Why would I wear this when I have this? I mean, it's like, I mean, brand new, with the tags on it and everything, never been worn. It's one of my Christmas presents. Thanks, Mom. Why would I wear that when I have been given this? This is who I am. But guess what? I got to put this on every day. Just like you woke up this morning and you had to put on some clothes, and thankful that you did. You have to wake up every morning. You have to put on the new man. Put on the new man, which was created. Now I'm going to mess up all my clothes here. Mom, can you do my laundry later? Created in righteousness, so I'm going to put on righteousness. And I've, here we go. My youth is renewed like the eagles. There we go. Eagle. I put on peace. Why would I go back to havoc and panic when I can be wearing peace? Why would I go back to despair when I can be wearing peace? Joy. I can put on some joy. All of the, guess what? This is all in your wardrobe. The question that I have for you today is, which wardrobe are you wearing? Which closet are you going to put on your clothes this morning? The old man, the new man. The old man, the new man. Why would I go back to this? Why would I want to even get close to this? Because I have life now. It's all a part of who I am. This is dead. This is death. Scripture says the wages of sin is death. Sin will still kill you. God will love you. He'll still love you. Sin will still kill your body, though. Your spirit will go to heaven, but your body is going to go in the grave. The wages of sin is death. There are still consequences to these actions, right? I'm not going back to that. That's not who I am. That's not my wardrobe anymore. Those aren't my clothes anymore. Why would I go back to hate and selfishness when I could put on love? Why would I go back to that? Why would I go back to inadequacy when I can put on? Here we go. Bum, 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 bum. I've been given superpowers. I can lay hands on the sick and they recover. I can speak in new tongues. I've been given superpowers. I've got some grace here. Clothed with grace. And guess what? That's all good news. All right, there we go. That's all good news. But here's the thing. So many times, here's what we do. Is we go back, and man, we'll be on Sunday morning. We're coming to church, and man, we're feeling good about ourselves. Going to church today. I got on my nice clothes. I'm not wearing any of that dirty old stuff. I actually washed my clothes. I'm going to church, so I feel good about myself. I feel good about my behavior. I feel good about my actions because I feel like I'm doing what's right. So I feel good about that. But then, you know what that's like? Feeling good about myself and my actions. That's like doing this right here. Hold on a second. You got anybody ever use this right here? This is Febreze. And since I do the laundry at my house, I use a lot of this because I don't like washing a lot of clothes. So you know what? And I learned this when I was in college because in college you always do the sniff test, right? You take your clothes, maybe you've worn them once, and they're... Don't look at me like nobody's ever done this. I had to learn it from somebody, and that's the reason they make this product. So you do the sniff test, you know? And then, I mean, if it's okay, it's like, oh, okay, I can wear that to the gym, you're good. Then you do like the stick test. You like throw it up against the wall, and if it sticks, then you definitely have to wash it. But otherwise, if it just reeks a little bit, you take this handy dandy product and you spray a little bit on it, right? Let it air out. And you think, well, the stench is gone. Oh, it smells nice. Eddie, get a whiff of that. I mean, you see the commercials, man. They spray this junk on people's cars that have, like, dirt and trash and nastiness in it. To where you probably spray this stuff on your car and it smells perfectly brand new, man. It smells like a new car. But, I mean, you've seen the commercials. They blindfold the people, and yet it's covered in, like, old to-go boxes and, you know, McMuffin is still stuck on the seat. But they just spray a little bit of this on there, and you're good. But guess what that is? That's dead works. When we begin to say, well, I'll just take these old clothes, this old man, and I'll put a little good works on it. I'll spray a little good works on it. It's still the old man. And those works are dead works. Those are dead works. Let me read to you what Jim Richards says about this. We gotta change our mind about dead works. It says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. There's no functional difference between dead works and good works. All right. So people are really confused about good work, confused about dead works. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, we're created in Christ to do what? Good works, right? Which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we're supposed to do good works, but we're supposed to change our minds about dead works. Repent from dead works. They can really, dead works and good works can be the same action with different motives. Praying can be dead works. For a lot of people, getting saved is a fire insurance policy. And praying and reading the Bible is paying the premiums. If you're praying because you think you have to in order to earn something from God, that's dead works. Because you know what? It's already here. It's already been given to you. It's already in everything you need. It's already there. But if we pray, and I'm not saying don't pray, but if we pray with the motive of trying to earn something from God, it's dead works. But if we're praying because we want to have a relationship with God, we want to fellowship with Him and worship Him and hear from Him, well, that's good works. and we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We're His masterpiece. If you're reading your Bible because you think it qualifies you for God's blessings, that's dead works. But if you're reading your Bible because you want to renew your mind, learn about God, grow as a person, that's good works. You see the difference there? What about witnessing? Jehovah's Witnesses are out knocking on doors every Saturday morning. If you ask them why they're doing this, they'll say that it's what they must do to go to heaven. Dead works. Many people think they have to witness for God for Him to love them and go to heaven. But that's dead works. Witnessing, giving life because you have a passion for people and because you care about what happens to them, that's good works. You see that? It's not just what you do, it's the motive behind what you do. And it's really easy to slip over into dead works when you're trying to do good works because you think, well, God's going to love me more if I do this, or God's going to bless me more if I tithe. Listen to me, tithing is good works. But tithing can be dead works if you're tithing with the wrong motive, if you're trying to twist God's arm, and if you're going to God saying, God, I tithed, so you owe me this. That's dead works. But if you're tithing out of a trust to God, saying, God, I trust you with everything in my life, I trust you with my money, I trust you with my life, my finances, and I put you first, well, that's good works. Do you see the difference, people? Spraying Febreze on the old man is equivalent to putting cologne on a corpse. It's still dead. Right? All right. So, what's the answer here? What's the deal? I want to give you three R's. Some alliteration for you. I love alliteration. I'm telling you, I could have been a Baptist preacher. 3 points in a poem. 3 R's here. Repent, renew, repeat. Repent, renew, repeat. Everybody say that. It's kind of like the old, you know, lather, rinse, repeat. If you know how to shampoo your hair, and which is ridiculous because it would result, if you follow that method, it would result in this endless cycle of shampoo in your hair, and you never rinse it all out if you continue that cycle. I don't know why they put that on shampoo bottles. That's ridiculous. But repent, renew, and repeat. All right? Now, the church has changed what repentance means from its original biblical context. We've taken repentance and we've made it into something that it really isn't, okay? Religion has changed the word repentance into something it really wasn't intended to mean. Repent in the Greek is the word metanoeo. Everybody say metanoeo. All right, and that's used in the New Testament. It's the Greek word for repentance, and according to Strong's 3340, if you're a biblical scholar and want to look that up, it really means to change one's mind. Everybody say that. Change one's mind. So when I repent, it doesn't mean I'm crying at an altar. You can cry at an altar if you want to. It doesn't necessarily even mean to change your direction. I've heard this over and over, man, from when I was a kid, growing up in church. Repentance means do a 180, turn around, turn from your sin. But really, repentance isn't so much of a changing direction as it is changing your mind. Your direction will change if you change your mind, but don't try to change your direction without changing your mind. You understand what I'm telling you today? You got to change your mind. Now, I mean, the history of religion. People look at repentance, and I mean, even like the old monks, man, they would beat themselves to pay penance for their sin. Had an evil thought. Had a lustful thought. I gave in to lust. I gave in to lying. I gave in to cheating. I gave in to stealing. They would beat themselves to pay penance. And paying penance is an act of self-mortification or devotion performed voluntarily to show sorrow for a sin or other wrongdoing. But this is how far it's gone. And so we are expecting, and I've been to these churches, And I love churches. I love what people are doing for the kingdom. But when we get into arm twisting and condemnation and shame, it just ain't right. Because we want to puff up some of our numbers about people giving their hearts to Christ or rededicating their lives to Jesus. I mean, we will milk the sorrow and the shame for all it's worth and tell people they're lousy, good for nothing, whatever, and you need to turn from your sin and come down to the altar and cry your eyes out, bawl your eyes out, and that's going to make you a better person. But we've got it backwards, man. Trying to change your behavior before you change your mind is putting the proverbial cart before the horse. It does not work that way. You want to change your actions? Good. Awesome. You want to stop putting on the old man and start putting on the new man? Great. But the way to do that is through true repentance, changing your mind. Changing your mind. Don't focus on changing behavior. That's works. That's from the outside in. Focus on changing your mind. That's from the inside out. Focus on receiving God's grace. Change your clothes. Change your mind. You'll change your life. You got to renew your mind. That's how you change it. That's how you repent. Romans 12:2 says this: Do not be conformed to this world, this age. This is the Amplified. Fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals, its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. So here's the payoff. Here's the reward of renewal. You will be able to prove for yourselves the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. And the word prove, this is what we're looking for here. The word prove means to make manifest to the physical senses. Write that down. The word prove means to make manifest to the physical senses. Isn't that what we began this talk about? Here's what we have on the inside. How do we get it from the inside out? This is the key. We want to prove for ourselves the perfect, acceptable, and pleasing will of God. We want to make manifest to our physical senses. We want to see these things come from the inside out. We have to renew our minds. We have to change our minds. We have to repent. We have to renew. We have to repeat. What does that word conformed mean? Do not be conformed to this world, it says. Conformed really means pour into a mold. You aren't going to exit this life the same way you came in. My wife and I, we just had our second daughter. She came in as a baby, a beautiful baby. She doesn't know anything. She's naive. She's innocent. She doesn't have a firm direction or plan for her life. And that's how we all came in this world, right? But by the time you live 20, 30, 40, 60 or more years, the pressures of this life, they're going to melt you. They will. Every one of us is going to be melted. You'll change shape, you'll change form, you'll change direction. But the good news is you get to choose what mold you fit into. It says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be poured into the world's mold. Life's pressures, life's despairs, life's discouragements that we talked about last week, then they're going to try to force you into this mold of pessimism, despair, lack. And when you lose your dreams, when you lose your hopes, you can harbor unforgiveness. You can become bitter. And that's the mold the problems in life are trying to force you into. But you don't have to go into that mold. You can choose to be transformed. The way you do that is by renewing your mind to the Word of God. You choose what you think on. You choose whether you're going to be fit into the world's mold or the mold of the Word. Worry or the Word. I want to challenge you to get the L out of the world and get into the Word. You didn't get that. Repeat it. Get the L out of the world and get into the Word. See, if you remove the L, it becomes Word. Okay, now you're good. You're tracking with me. Sorry for my harsh language. I put on my old clothes again for a second. All right. But that's not who I am. This is who I am. I want to be molded by the Word. I want to be shaped by the Word. I want my mind, that soulless part of me, to be poured into the Word's mold, right? Paul talked about putting on the new man again in Colossians 3, verse 9 through 11. He says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Listen to this. Since you have put off the old man. Again, he's writing to the church. He's saying, guess what? You've already put off the old man. The old man's gone. He's dead and gone. Dead and gone. The old man is dead and gone. You've put off the old man with his deeds. The old man and his actions, gone. And you've put on the new man, who is what? Renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Verse 10 in the Amplified puts it this way, and you have clothed yourselves with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded, you get that? Remolded into fuller and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge after the image, the likeness of him who created it. You got to repent, you got to change your mind, you got to renew your mind. That's how you change your mind. And you got to repeat, because it's a daily process. It's like this, 3 years ago, this month, I made a goal to become healthier. I made a goal to become physically fit. We had started Team Lean at the church, and some of you were like, man, we need to do Team Lean again so I can lose that 20 pounds and then put it back right back on a few minutes later. Because I had done Team Lean the year before, and that's what happened to me. Oh, man, I did great. I lost the weight, and then, you know, that next year I got to make the same goal again. Well, I was tired of that. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I decided I needed to do something. And it wasn't, you know, I did P90X, awesome, way to go P90X. It's not infomercial about P90X or Beachbody or any of that other stuff. It can help you. It worked for me. But really, what really happened for me to change my body is I changed my mind. I changed my mind about eating and exercising regularly. I didn't just say, hey, this is something I'm going to try again this year. I said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to change my mind. And guess what? I change my mind every single day. Because if I change my mind once and said, I wrote it on a piece of paper and said, hey, this year I'm going to lose 30 pounds and be in the best physical shape of my life, and I wrote it down on paper one time, that wouldn't do it. Because the day after I did my first P90X chest and back workout, I can guarantee you if it was just on a paper, I would not have pressed play one more time. Because of the physical pain that my muscles were in from doing 1 hour of workout. And that's what happens to your body after you haven't used your muscles, and your muscles are like, what are you doing to me? You're using them. I'll show you who's boss. You won't ever do that again. And guess what? Because I changed my mind and I did it day in and day out, then I ultimately changed my appearance, I changed my body, and I feel better. And that's the same thing. I mean, that's a natural process, but it's the same way spiritually. I have to change. You know what? When I became a Christian, I had put off the old man and put on the new man, or so I thought. But what happened was I kept going back over into this pile of clothes and putting on stuff. And then I'd go to church and they'd make me feel bad about it. And then I'd cry at the altar and I'd feel better walking out, but there was no real change. Maybe for a week I would do better because I was like, man, willpower, I got this. You can't beat me anymore. But I never changed my mind. I never repented, really. I never changed my mind about, that's not me anymore. But when I repented about these things and changed my mind about who I really am, then my behavior started to change. How do I change my mind? What happens is I believe what the Word says about me. My belief determines my behavior. But over here, man, I didn't really believe. I didn't really believe what the Word had said about me. I didn't really believe that I had power and dominion over sin. I didn't really believe that because sin would always come creeping at my door. Right? It's the same thing about healing. You know, I grew up in a church where they didn't really teach healing. They didn't necessarily teach that healing had passed away or anything like that, but it wasn't like in your face like good news is, like, God's will is healing for you. So we never really understood, man, it was God's will. But I had to change my mind about that. I had to believe, God, it is your will for me to be healed. I changed my mind. I repent from that former belief system. And I know this is who I really am. Healing's in that basket. Right? But it's a daily process. Because The moment I stop putting on the old man is the moment my actions start slipping back to this, and I start going back to this, and I start looking at it differently. Because really, when you change your mind, you're changing your perspective. But if I stop renewing my mind, my perspective will start to slip and start to wane a little bit. And I'll start seeing this as desirable because of the way it makes me feel, because of the way it makes me behave. And I'll see this as desirable, and I'll start to slip over towards this. And once I put this on, and then I can get over to this. Because there's, again, that endless cycle of repentance from the world, in the world's sight and religion's sight, of man's attempt to get back in God's good grace. So I'll go to church, I'll pray a little more, I'll ask God's forgiveness, all of that, in an attempt to gain God's favor, dead works, spraying the Febreze on the nasty clothes. But if I realize and I change my mind and say, this is who I am, this is the new man, and I put that on every single day, been created in the image of God, and true righteousness, true holiness, I have joy, I have peace, I don't have to be depressed. You understand what I'm saying today? I'm going to close with this. Galatians 3:27, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. So here's the deal. I mean, I described a few things that were in this basket: righteousness, joy, peace, grace, love. But here's the deal. Once you put on the new man, you've been clothed with Christ himself. So everything you could ever want, everything you could ever desire, every need is found in him. And you are complete in him. You don't need anything else. I don't need to sift back through any of those old clothes. Anybody ever sorted out their closet before? I've gone through taking some old stuff and said, hey, you know what? This stuff's old. It doesn't fit me anymore. It's got to go down to the Goodwill. Anybody ever had somebody else do that for them? Like your spouse? You didn't ask her to do it, and she did anyway? So she would go through the clothes. I'm not saying this ever happened. I think she might be in the mother's room watching. This has never happened. This is a likelihood, okay? This is hypothetical story, right? So imagine your spouse goes through your clothes, picks out all the things she thinks doesn't look good on you, and things that she thinks is old, or things that she thinks has a stain on it or whatever, and she puts it in the Goodwill pile. Well, what happens is you come home and you see that pile of old clothes that have already been removed for you by your loving spouse who wants the best for you. Not out to harm you, not out to get you, but she really has a desire for you to be the best you can possibly be, right? I'm looking at some of your clothes thinking, maybe your wife. Okay, never mind. So she's taking the clothes, she put them in the Goodwill basket or the Goodwill bag, right? So what happens is you go through all that old stuff and you're like, you start to reminisce, right? These shorts. I painted in these. All right? So you start to reminisce about the things that you used to have, the things that you used to do. Is this making any sense to anybody? And that's what can happen when we've already been given a brand new wardrobe. You see it all the time. I'm closing again. You see it all the time on TLC's What Not to Wear. Remember seen that show? We used to watch that show all the time when we had cable. Then we cut the cord. And it's gone, and who cares? don't get to watch it anymore. I don't really give a flip. But anyway, the show is they give them $5,000 on a credit card, the show does, and say, we're going to teach you how to shop for yourself, get you clothes that's going to fit you, that's going to make you look good, make you look younger. $5,000. And then they say, but the catch is you have to get rid of your old wardrobe. Every last stitch, yes. Thank you. Every last stitch of fabric has to go in the trash. But you see these people, and they'll try on their old clothes, and they'll look at themselves in the three-way mirror, and they're like, this looks good. And it's got all these crazy stripes, and look all wackadoo and stuff. And they'll think they look good, and the people are like, no, that doesn't look good on you. No, don't wear that ever again. Burn it. We're going to throw it in the trash. And the people are like clinging to their old wardrobe. No, you can't take. If I could just keep this one little piece, I would feel better. No, you can't. That don't work for you. Don't fit you. Don't look good on you. And here's the thing. When we put off the old man, we've traded in our old wardrobe. And we have been given everything that makes us look good, everything that makes us feel good, everything that makes us good in Christ. It's all available to us because we've clothed ourselves with him. Amen? Well, hopefully Pastor won't have to undo a bunch of that. Maybe he'll undo some of it. I don't know. But I hope that helped you today. Let's trade in our wardrobes, people. Let's put off the old man and his behavior. Let's change our mind and change our lives. Let's repent, let's renew, and repeat. That's your assignment. Go ahead and stand to your feet, everybody.